Fiona.
Hey, Jill. What's it like?
Sorry, well, I'm just having my toast. Let me swallow.
Oh, good. It's a very English thing to have toast and tea for breakfast, I have to say. It's almost a tradition.
Yes,
toast is a very big deal. It used to be anyway. Jill, I was wondering if we could talk today about Tina Turner. I know one of the things that I find is that people's stories, famous people's stories, are very often so empowering to a lot of people. And I think she went through so much in her life, from a child through to when she had an abusive husband, through to having so many illnesses that she went through.
Well,
and then
I was just going to ask you, tell me about them. Tell me about her story, because I'm aware of her. The only thing I'm aware of her is her extraordinary talent and her extraordinary energy, and that she lived abroad. She lived in France, which is wonderful to know that somebody as dynamic as her is, as she was, is traveling the world and living in different places. I love that about her. I know Ike Turner, was he her first husband?
Yes, and he was she was always going to be, as Bob always says about Elvis, too. They think that his manager made him, in a sense. But with an outstanding talent like both of these, Tina Turner and Elvis Presley, they would have always been famous. It was just who could jump on their bandwagon. But some people could say that he was the one who formed her, really helped her to learn how to use her voice and how to, present herself. And they found a name together, Tina Turner, which isn't her real name. And at the same time, unfortunately, he was very physically abusive. And
so I knew that part of her life, but I don't know much else. So tell me, I'm fascinated.
Well, I think that she just had what I want to focus on is the life that she had in her. Because when you watch people like Michael Jackson, Tina Turner, Elvis Presley perform, they disappear and they become the pure energy of music, and for quote my and her dance and music, and Michael Jackson. His very last performance is worth watching. In that, this is it. I think it is. You can get it on probably one of the streaming services, and it's worth just sitting and watching him and watching Tina Turner and just almost go into them, almost feel them, because when you do that, you feel what music is, you feel what dance is. And at the same time, then they come out and they have to live their life, which, for her, I think when she married that her second husband, who was evidently very kind to her, and they just had, it appears that they had a beautiful relationship. And yet she'd gone through so much pain and suffering to get to that point. And I think that it's almost like they are gurus in themselves because of the way that they've moved through energies and still been able to express themselves. But at the same time, there is less with her, but more with Elvis and Michael Jackson, definitely. They when they become their music, they are the music. There is nothing else except that or the dance. And but when they leave that space, they come out of it. It's much like we've talked about with meditation, is that music is there. They become a guru of that particular field when they're on stage. And then, or when they're singing or dancing, then when they come out, they have to deal with the humdrum of a world that they haven't mastered. I think she's interesting because she seemed to master the world as well as her art, which Michael Jackson and Elvis Presley did not. They mastered their art to the nth degree. I mean, they were incredible artists. When you see her, still has that. You go into her. I've been watching a few videos as they pop up on Facebook. And she goes completely into that music and dance. There's nothing but that. And then it appears, again, everything, I don't know her personally, so I don't know, but it appears that when she came out, she mastered the balance. I know she did a lot of Buddhist practices. She mastered the art of being able to live in both worlds, live in this incredible, vast space of creativity, and then live in a world that is very confusing and difficult for almost everybody to live in balance. And also, she went through cancer and all sorts of other diseases. I'm not exactly sure, but she had a series of diseases. And
I didn't know that. Kidney failure.
She had kidney failure up to the point at which she was dying. I think she had got everything ready to die. And then the gentleman who became her husband gave her one of his kidneys. And that gave her another whole, you know, space. And so one of the things I want to mention is that no matter where we are, and it's very important to know this, that she is like a beacon for us, because she was in the absolute pinnacle of success and fame and beauty. And I mean, you know, you couldn't get more successful really than Tina Turner. And at the same time, she mastered living in this world. Both of those things extremely difficult. And you know, when you see her towards the end, she has a more of a peacefulness about her, which is so hard to. She found a bridge between the two worlds.
Oh, lovely, lovely! I love the way you expressed that. Well, I didn't know this about her. So much, but what I loved about her, and I love about anybody who loves what it is that they do, and she, as you say, she got so into her singing and dancing, she got into the music, and she shared it with all of us. She didn't hold it solely for herself and hold it in. She, you know, as the Northern Native American indigenous people would say, she gave it away. She shared it. Once you share something like that in this giveaway, as they call it, once you give it away, it truly becomes yours then. And it truly became Tina Turner. You can watch her and she gives it to each one of us. That joy, that exuberance, that energy, she just gives it to us. You know, she takes us along for the ride. She's quite amazing. She's quite amazing. So, you know,
she's a rarity.
Yeah, I'm so grateful for. I've never seen her in person. Although I kept saying, when I lose my hair from my cancer, I'm going to go out and get myself a Tina Turner wig, probably in purple first. But that's always been my plan. You know, she had a power and a strength about her, and a joy about her. And now when I hear about the difficulties in her life, she may have kept that more or less to herself, but her main giveaway is who she truly was this phenomenal gift of music and dance and love and generosity, and for all of us to enjoy. She didn't hold it for herself. It wasn't just her being on stage showing us what she could do. She was giving it to us. That was the amazing thing about her.
She was channeling that energy actually of complete music and complete dance. And I'm going to read a little something on Wikipedia. She said that after chanting, Buddhist chanting, Turner noticed positive changes in her life, which she attributed to her newfound spiritual practices. She said, "I realized that I had within me everything I needed to change my life for the better."
Yes.
During the hardest times of her life, Turner chanted 4 hours per day. And although in later life she no longer chanted as much, she still maintained a daily practice. Turner likened Buddhist chanting to singing "She Told the Lions Roar." It sounds like a rhythm, that particular one, and it touches place inside you. Then she said it reaches the very depths of her. So I think that, you know, one of the things we want to say, and this is one of the reasons I wanted to bring her up, if we want to make a bridge between the two worlds, if we want to make a bridge between the vastness and the oneness of who we are, and this, you know, and everyday work, everyday life, which is like they're vastly separated. And that's one of the things we're here to do, is to find that bridge between the two worlds. And she actually found that through Buddhist chanting. And I think that it doesn't have to be Buddhist. It can be anything. It can be non-religious. It could be developing your own set of sounds, you know, that you could use and express as you, you know, as you go through your day or as you go through your week. But it's almost imperative to have some sort of daily practice. The fact that she was able to achieve that bridge between the worlds and find balance in this world when she was in such an, you know, high level of artistic and creativity. Those are not right words. But anyway, that is a very powerful thing. And I think it's really helpful for people to know that we do need to form some sort of practice each day. Otherwise, it's really hard to maintain balance in this world where everything is so crazy and getting crazier.
Well, yes. I have my practice too, and a lot of it is very similar to Buddhism. I do learn a lot from the Buddhist tradition, so I'm very happy for her that she found that, because she probably hooked into, and being a singer too, a mantra that works with the resonance in her voice. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes, I do.
You're a singer, Fiona. So in the key that you are most comfortable in, to develop some sort of a mantra, and it doesn't have to be Buddhist. It could be anything, as you said, anything. One of the ones that I like that sometimes I do with people when they have anxiety is, I'm not afraid. Everything will be okay. I'm not afraid. Mm-hmm. I release fear. Everything will be okay. Mm-hmm. I release fear. Everything will be okay. And keep saying that, and saying that in a tone, a voice that you feel comfortable with, so it's stressful. It isn't strained. I'm not talking like this, you know. It's in my voice, for example. And you can change it. You can change it as you face different challenges during the day. You can change it and just say it to yourself. Or, you know, it's very soothing. It's very, very soothing.
Very soothing.
So, and you said she was doing 4 hours a day. That's an amazing practice. That's an amazing.
Well, I think she had a lot of, she had a lot of emotional abuse during her life and physical abuse, and also, you know, again, she had a lot of health issues. She also had intestinal cancer, but she went through a lot of things, and I think to get yourself, one of the things we found, I think both you and I found, that to begin with, you very often want to do it fairly intensely, like she did. And then in her bio, it said she didn't do it as intensely, but she still practiced it. So because once you get it all set up, it's like I can walk outside and look at a leaf, and I'm instantly in the depths of meditation.
Yeah.
And, you know, so after you've done it quite a bit and find a practice that works for you, you know, the Self-Realization Fellowship, which has got a practice, and Buddhism, which is a practice. And even if, you know, maybe the Kabbalah teachings, you know, the Jewish teachings, or some of the Christian meditations. So you find something that works for you. And I think the idea is do it intensely for a while until you build that bridge so that you can find your way through. From the world and from the fussiness of the world to the vastness and the completeness and the peace and the joy of the inner. And I think when we can do that as she did, and again, that's very, very rare, because, you know, there's so many incredible artists that have the one side that she had, but never were able or found the way that she did on the other side. And it, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're a Tina Turner or whoever you are, you can find it, and you can find the joy no matter what, if you build your own personal bridge.
Too true. Absolutely.
Well, some people also find it through Native American practices, through being with the earth and singing the chants. Later. I know you've done that in your life. And so for some people, that's their way. So just finding a way, just to begin with.
Yeah. One of the good, for anybody starting off who feels alienated, which a lot of people feel right now, a lovely mantra in your own voice, in your own tone, soft tone, is, I belong here. I belong here. Because there's a lot of people right now thinking they don't belong anywhere. Where do they belong? Belonging is a big, big thing right now. And so, you know, whether through the anxiety or abuse or fear, find the words that you need to do, just as Tina Turner did. She took some Buddhist mantra. Mantra is not the word for it, but I can't think of it at the moment.
She used the word chant. I don't know if it's...
Yes. It could be a... they do. It's a repetitive. And it's like kind of like the same kind of feeling that when you're in a train and the sound of the metal going over the tracks. Yeah, exactly. And that sort of lulls you into this state. So does, and you know, you can go on to on the internet and just Google Buddhist chants and go through them. There'll be a whole load of them, and see if there's any that really you like, and then ask for it to be written out. Learn it if you want to do it that way, or find your own words that help you. As the Dalai Lama has also always said, you know, we're happy for you to use the Tibetan words, but you have your own words. So if everybody used their own words and learned how to get into this meditative, relaxing state, and the words are there to help you to transcend the challenges that we have all of our lives and on a daily basis. Thank you, Tina Turner, for sharing your life with us. I must say, I love her so much. I love her, and I thank her for the joy and the enthusiasm and all the gifts that she shared with us just by going out there and being who she was.
And showing us that you can build a bridge through that. You know, most of us have much smaller lives than she did, of course. And at the same time, it's equally as difficult to, not equally, it's very hard to build that bridge unless we have some practice to start with. It can be, I know, you know, it can be anything, even, you know, on a regular basis doing the work of Byron Katie. She has something that I think is always wonderful, because a lot of people want to please people or feel uncomfortable with people. And I know every time I went to do a wedding, which I used to do, I don't do them anymore, I would always stand up. You know, occasionally you get a big wedding, you have a couple of hundred people there or something. And I would stand up, and before I even said a word, I'd keep repeating the Byron Katie thing, which is, I know you love me. You just don't know it yet. I know you love me. You just don't know it yet, because we are all love. And if we are in that space, we love everybody. We are, you know, so it is, I would do that until I felt it calm coming over me. And then I would just be a flow with the congregation, and I would be able to, just go ahead and do the wedding as I had seen it to be done. And I think that we can take any major teacher, and there are tons of wonderful major teachers. If you look at them and find a practice that they suggest, they've all gone through the practices themselves. Like Byron Katie came out of incredible depression, and she was like 400 pounds or something. And she had this realization. She hit the bottom, and she started to be aware of these four questions. But anybody, find anybody that moves you. A lot of people love the Kabbalah, and you know, don't be put off by some of the people in the group. because everybody's trying to build a bridge. And therefore, sometimes when you go into a group, you'll find people who are very much in their own stuff. And then you'll say, well, that doesn't work for me. And you'll leave that particular group. But sit with them a little bit, see if it works, and move around until you find, either online or in books or live, find a group or a practice that works for you. And do it religiously, in a sense. I don't mean religious. I mean, do it often. Until you begin to really connect that you're building that bridge for yourself between the two worlds.
And I believe you'll feel it when it happens.
Yes, that's the deal, is that once you feel it and you get a little bit of it, you want to do more. That's why she did 4 hours a day, because she felt it. Yeah, and she just loved to be bathed in this energy that she felt, but she couldn't hold it, obviously. So she had to go back and do 4 hours. After a while, she could hold it through the day. She didn't need to do 4 hours anymore. It's the same with you and me. I know for me, I used to practice for hours and hours with meditation also, and with other practices. And then after a while, I just didn't need to do it. It was just so easy to do it as I go along through the day, and because I had the bridge. Well, anything more, Jill, before we finish talking about
just
this most
you,
amazing
Fiona, thank
person?
You. Thank you for bringing this up today. Thank you. Thank you for reminding me of her talent and telling me all the things that she went through, or some of the things that you read that she went through. Just let's send our love to her.
And again, you know, take time to work out how you can do practice, and use it often until you can carry it through your day, which is not as hard as you might think. For some people, they don't need to do 4 hours. I mean, she had an intense life, but for most people, you have to do a certain amount of time every day until you've actually got that bridge. Well, we've been talking about Tina Turner and how amazing she is, because she's just, her body died, of course. So, and thank you so much, Jill, for all your wisdom.
Thank you, Fiona. I'm going to just bathe in Tina Turner today. Thank you so much. Bye, honey.
If you would like to reach out to us, you can do it through the website, earthtriberadio.com, or you can reach us at earthtriberadio@gmail.com. If you need mentoring or coaching, we are available for that, and you can find us through that website.